precious women have graciously been volunteered, or actually strong-armed, into being here to let us kind of pick their brain about how to live out what we've been learning. What does that look like in a day-to-day life? So you all know Pam, so I won't reintroduce her, but next to her is Sarah Alexander. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to announce one thing. We have someone who is missing their phone, which of course is huge. So if you have found a phone, would you turn it in to one of the information centers out there? That would be great. Okay, back to Laura. I knew I was going to do that. Her sister's name is Laura, and they look a lot alike. Sarah has faithfully served in our church for over 10 years in many areas. You usually see her in music, and she also works in youth. She and I serve together in the youth group. And Sarah has been a particular blessing to me. We split up boys and girls sometimes in the high school, and we have a few women that will teach. And it has been a game changer for myself and our girls to hear a woman, another lady, exposit the Word of God. Because sometimes they can get it in their head that, oh, well, that's just a man's job. But Sarah is one of those that does that for us, and she has blessed us. She works full-time teaching in her private music studio and as an adjunct at Tarrant County College. She has a daughter who attends here at Countryside and is a sophomore at Texas Women's University. Next to her is Debbie Scarborough. Debbie has been married for 51 years. Love that. She has 6 grown children, all married, and 18 grandchildren. She currently serves in our Beginnings and Foundations ministries. That's our newly married and then young married ministries. And she's also very active in our Partners one-on-one ministry. So she has such wisdom and a passion for discipling young ladies, or ladies of all ages. Next to her is Aaron Scarborough, Debbie's daughter-in-law, married to Joshua, Debbie's youngest, and they have been married for 10 years. Joshua is on staff here. He's the announcements pastor, as a lot of people call him. He does a lot more than that. She's a registered nurse, and she worked in that field for 8 years, but now she serves alongside Joshua in our Beginnings ministry and takes really good care of her precious little Alice, who is 4.5. And then, last but not least, Esther Pimplicar. Esther has been a believer for more than 25 years, and her love of the Lord and His Word is just so obvious. Her husband, Vikram, is also, he is an elder here at the church. Is he on staff? I should know that. Okay. He is on staff, too. She serves in 128, which is our single adult ministry, and in the Awana program. And she's been married for 16 years to Vikram, and they are blessed with 3 children. Esther is a nurse practitioner as well, so anybody has a problem, medical problem, we are covered. Yeah. All right, so just jumping into it, we're going to talk about what Pam opened with. Was there was one area where we don't have to worry about balance, and that is having the Lord as our top priority. But with us being so busy in school and home and work and relationships and ministry, it's hard to keep your focus on the Lord. What are some practical ways that you ladies have found to keep your focus on the Lord amidst busy lives?
Well, busyness never stops. And I think that for me and for us, because this is what Scripture tells us, is that battle for the focus, of course, starts in our mind and in our heart. And we can't always control the situations, the balance that the Lord does decide to bring into our lives. May not be the balance that we would choose at the moment or that focus, but we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, control how we think and respond to that balance. And so I'm in a season of life right now where I have the luxury of having coffee and the Word, that's what we say, coffee and the Word, on a pretty consistent basis without too many interruptions. And I know that's just a season right now. It hasn't always been that way, but But that's where my balance starts, and I would imagine that's where a lot of y'all's balance starts, is in that morning just reminding myself of the why of the day. Why am I even getting up this morning? But then, you know, we all know, like, we get done with our quiet time or that awesome worship time that we had before the Lord, and we open our door, and life hits us. And it's very easy to forget that beautiful worship time that you had before the Lord. And so a quote that has really stood out to me throughout the years is, for every look at yourself, one look at yourself, you take 10 looks at Christ. And, you know, that's great for the visual of not looking at yourself so much in the mirror. But for me, it's my inner monologue. And I say it's a monologue. And if it's only a monologue, that just leads, as you mentioned earlier, down that road of fear and anxiety and feeling out of control and out of balance, right? And so just making sure that it's an inner dialogue, which is what we call prayer. Just simply changing that thought process from, I don't know how this meeting's going to go. I don't know how this person's going to respond. I don't know how I'm supposed to get through all my tasks of the day. Whatever it may be, just simply saying, Lord, I don't know how this meeting is going to go. And just that acknowledgement puts myself right back at the feet of the one who is in control, as you mentioned earlier, building that sovereign or trust by acknowledging his sovereignty. And so that praying without ceasing is what we're told in scripture, but also it tends to shrink down that problem in my mind to the appropriate size that it should be. And it really helps elevate God who is in control. So that's one way I help with focus.
I was just going to say, I understand the seasons, obviously, and I'm in a little different one than you are right now with a four-year-old. And one thing that's been helpful for me is, you know, I'd love to have my Bible time in the morning, but if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, not just counting it that I have to wait till tomorrow, but having several other times throughout the day that I've already set aside to say, okay, if I don't get to have that time with the Lord in the morning, then I just look to the next time. Okay, maybe quiet time, or if it doesn't happen then at night before I go to bed, you know, but making it a priority and not just saying, too bad, I guess I didn't get it in the morning, so I have to wait till tomorrow. So that's been helpful for me.
Yeah, that's huge. Not just setting aside one time and then hoping it happens, but setting aside three times. That's amazing. Yeah.
I was just going to say, when my kids were little, I can remember getting up earlier and earlier. You know, okay, that didn't work. I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier. And so you think, this is going to be it. And so you're in there and you're studying and you got your coffee and you're reading. And all of a sudden, you feel these little eyes at the door. And it's like they have an alarm that if mom gets up early, they get up early. And so, yeah, I mean, I would go back to bed. I'm praying for you. You know, and it can be very frustrating. But what I have learned is the Lord is so understanding. And again, I just have such a heart for young moms. He knows. He knows you want to spend time with him. He knows you barely have time to breathe during the day. He knows all that. And so that's so true, Aaron, that you have to be flexible. Don't be legalistic about it. Oh, I missed my 30 minutes. Well, you may not get 30 minutes for a while. If you get 5 or 10, be grateful for that. You know, I could remember doing this, though. I would take some of my favorite scriptures, something maybe I was trying to memorize, and I would literally get little cards and stick it up on my bathroom mirror or stick it in the car. And you can meditate and think about God's word. It doesn't have to be at your table with your cup of coffee. So be creative and just know that the Lord knows. You do your best, and there will come a time when you have more time. But I see all these young moms running around feeling guilty. Okay, stop feeling guilty. Just do your best, okay? And you will have more time as they get older.
And some of it you can include your kids in. You know, read to them. Maybe it's just a psalm or a short passage.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. So with all of our families being different, you know, we have different numbers of families living in our, number of people living in our house or different ages, but we all have to be intentional to balance ministry commitments with our home life. Even if you're single, you need to balance ministry with your home life. So are there times when you've realized you've had too many outside commitments, and then what did you do?
I'm going to take this one. Pam really taught us so well about, you know, balancing so many different aspects, but also particularly that the priorities, you know, in different seasons of our lives as single women, married women, women in different seasons, and where the Lord is first in our life. And then if you're married, your husband, and then if you have children, they're next. And then also we, the Lord has commanded us to serve his family, God's people, outside of our home. So to remember those priorities. And then I love to remind myself, I'm going to say it out loud, if you have said no to something, you've actually said yes to another thing. So don't feel bad if you have to say no, but that doesn't mean you can say no to everything because, oh yeah, this is no, check it off the list, no. But think what is the priority? Where does that fall in your God-given roles? What would God have you do at this point in time? You know, and it's going to look different again when you have really little kids. You know, that is your priority. That's where the Lord has you. So if you said no to serving, but just attending or live streaming, it's okay. And to reevaluate that each time as you go through different seasons of your life. So I had to learn it that way because I felt like I was saying yes to everything, as most of you probably would agree that we all want to say that. We want to please others. We want to please the Lord, and we don't want to say no to the things that the Lord would have us do or the things that are related to church. But we have to really think, am I letting go of something that I really need to be at in order to just say yes to something that I may not joyfully serve or participate and really be stretched thin in order to try to do that and get pulled in every different direction where the outcome of that is not really the joy that you need to have in your heart when you serve. And also that attitude doesn't ultimately bring glory to God because you're not doing it with a joyful heart. So to just reevaluate each time with different decisions that you come across and also in different seasons of your life.
And so I think too, along those lines, I had to have kind of a big wake-up call. Well, yes, the Lord gave me a big wake-up call and just brought it to my attention that not only can I not do it all, I'm not required to do it all, and I was really putting these imposed, or I was self-imposing these requirements on myself, which is exactly what the Pharisees were doing, to make themselves more acceptable to God. And I would have never called myself a Pharisee, and I would have never said that my salvation was based on my works or anything, but it was, like I said, self-imposed. It's our flesh. And so one real practical way of working through that was just listing out all of my commitments in every sphere. And I got very specific because I always thought, oh, I'll just take on one more thing and it'll just be that one time that I have to deal with that. And of course not, you know, remembering, oh yeah, if I say yes to that, it's also yes to the other things that follow with it. And then it's no to other things. So, and then just praying through that. But having very faithful friends and godly women in my life, and godly men too, saying something's got to give, and really helping me think through, here's what you've said you have on your priority list, and if you're going to say yes to this, then of course it is going to be no to that, but here's your priority, that's what you listed. And so just praying through that list, but very practically, like for me, I'm just very visual, I had to lay it all out and had to have a come to Jesus moment with that list. But also it was so refreshing. Just I don't have to do it all, and we have the body here. We function as a body. If I can't do it or I'm unable to, somebody else will, and that's what God has called them to do. So
that's good. Yeah, excellent. So knowing that serving is essential, it's non-negotiable, have there been times where it's been difficult for you to want to serve for any reason, different reasons?
I mean, I think there's definitely seasons of service. You kind of talked about that, Pam. So, you know, I remember when Joshua and I were first married, we were both in nursing school, and we had just gotten married, right? And so it was a busy time, and he had been serving in youth, and we knew that we needed to continue serving, but we decided to do something that was a little bit less of a, like, all-consuming commitment during that season. And so I think there are just times that you say, I need to step back a little bit. And that goes into even what you were saying, writing everything out and, you know, cutting things and, you know, including your husband in that if you're married. And but definitely seasons of service.
Going back to what Pam said about when we get married, we have a one flesh relationship with our husband, which is just different than all the others. What tips do you have for keeping your husband, that relationship, a priority when you have children who require a lot of time, and not necessarily young children, because as they get older and their sports, just at different seasons of life?
So I've been married for 16 years, and praise the Lord, the Lord has taught me so much in those 16 years. Several of you have been married longer. And just to realize the priorities was an eye-opener, because when the kids came along, I got too busy with taking care of the kids, balancing work and the kids. But the Lord had to open my eyes to show me, here, these are your priorities, and this is what I want you to do, and to be intentional about it, not just to know it here, but to actually apply it to our lives. A lot of times we know our priorities, but we don't necessarily execute them in those orders in our given day. For example, if you have your calendar, you look at your schedule, you go, for example, my calendar, maybe school, a piano, taekwondo, a theater, or whatever. It's like everything is there for the kids. There is an unspoken thing on my calendar that I need to spend time with my husband. And not that we all work on calendars or on our phones, but it may be a mental list that you have. But just to know that that helps you be intentional about what your day is going to look like. For me, you know, just maybe sitting side by side with my husband when I do the quiet time. We may not even talk, but look at each other across the room, sitting on different couches and doing quiet time together. That is one time. And then, you know, different seasons, again, I bring that because when the kids were little, we had to have babysitters come so we could take date nights. We don't have grandparents living around here for our kids. But having now that I have older kids, teenagers, we have more time to go take a date night. So being intentional about planning that and making time for it. Another special thing we like to do, my husband and I, we love our tea. And so we do a little tea time catch up. So it might look very special in each one of our lives. And to find that special time in your day, whether it's late in the evening, if you have really little kids, put them to bed early and just set aside that time to make sure you are intentional and really keeping up with your priorities and serving your husband in that manner.
I read in a book recently, it said how you greet your husband when he first comes home sets the tone for the entire rest of the day. And I thought that was so good, because it's really easy to, you know, be busy cooking dinner or all the things. And so even if you just stop for 10 seconds, 30 seconds, hello, honey, you know, and say hello and greet him and take that time, just really is important. And I also think how we talk to our husbands, our tone of voice, you know, having that kindness and compassion, like it talks about in Colossians 3, and also how we talk about our husbands says a lot about how we prioritize and value that relationship. So just being really intentional in that.
Can I speak as a single person? Not having been married myself, but I have grown up in a household. My parents have been married for over 50 years, and they still date each other, which is awesome to see, and all of us kids totally support that. But it's such a blessing as a child to grow up in a house where the parents, their unification comes first over the kids. And there was that security for me, and I know that not everybody has grown up in a household like that, but if you're in a position to, as a parent, to be unified with your husband, I mean, it makes a big impact. But as a single person, I mean, I hear about y'all's husbands and whatnot, you know, and so we can totally come alongside. Sometimes we can help out by doing the babysitting or whatever for them, but also just praying for them. So listen up, singles, because you can really minister to your married sisters in Christ by praying for them and directing them back to their husbands or whatever, you know, the situation may be. But it's important for us to be a part of that too.
No, that's a great reminder. That's one way I always pray for our missionaries, is for their marriage to be strong, because that's where it all starts. And just a plug, I don't have any tips, but we just entered the season of empty nesting. We're six weeks in. And I was just thanking my sweet mother-in-law back there yesterday for teaching my husband the importance of making our marriage a priority, because now I realize why. It's huge. But going back to children, Pam reminded us that we need to sacrifice for our children, and they need to see our sacrificial love for them. But there's times when children need to learn how to sacrifice for ministry. How can we discern which is which, or do y'all have ideas for doing that?
I think our kids need to see us do ministry. They need to be invited to do ministry with us, and we have to be open to the Lord saying enough, you know, and just being at home. There's times when you're at church trying to serve and your kids are having a meltdown and you're like, sorry, ladies, I'm going to go home. And, you know, hopefully somebody else will help you clean up this mess. But, you know, we do have to remember that our kids need to see both sides. They need to see a sacrifice for the body. They need to see a sacrifice for them. That's how they learn.
And doesn't your daughter-in-law or daughter, doesn't she use that kind of terminology at home, you're telling me?
I totally missed it.
Oh, you have a daughter or a daughter-in-law, I can't remember which, you said that uses that kind of serving terminology at home to train the children, and I thought that was good.
Okay. Thank you. Erin reminded me. I have a daughter-in-law I have several, but a different one than this one. I thought you were referring to her, and I was trying to think, what did she say? But who, when she's training her children to do things, you know, a lot of times she'll say, can you pick up the toys? And they're like, I didn't make this mess. And so she starts her sentences by saying, can you serve your sister by picking up her toys before dinner? Can you serve your brother by doing this or that? So I think it's just neat to hear her say that.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about, we teach our kids to love the Lord, your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love others, right? We want to follow those commandments our Lord gave us. And loving others, you can serve them, right? And involving your kids in serving alongside. I feel like a few things we have at our church here, there's a prayer list, a monthly prayer list, to go through and pray, involve your kids in praying for the body that way. Our kids go with us most places where my husband and I are serving, where they're allowed to go. They'll come with me grocery shopping. They'll help me cook a meal that I need to take to someone. They'll help me load and unload, pack things, so they're able to serve that way. And then there is, most of you have participated in Children's Hunger Fund. If you remember, it's like for families to come serve together. So those are several opportunities that we're able to involve our kids to see how they can love and serve others as the Lord has commanded us to do.
Yeah, and you may be involved in a ministry that you really can't have your child come alongside with you in like you mentioned, just having them involved in prayer, maybe they can't know the specifics or the details, you know, if you're counseling somebody, but it can really open up a discussion with them about the gospel and how it changes lives, because they're seeing it firsthand. Well, yeah, maybe not with the details, but they can see prayers answered through that, and it can also open up a conversation about the consequences of actions and thoughts, and, you know, this is a road that it could lead you down. And so there's ways, again, without details and specifics, that you can really just have a gospel conversation with them, and they can be encouraged by that prayer as well as they see it answered, and who knows how God will answer it. So.
And I think just realizing, too, that this is hard. These are difficult decisions to make, and that we won't do it perfectly. But praying about it, you know, being in a continual prayer about that and reevaluating. And so you pray about it, you make the wisest decision you can at the time, and then you trust the Lord and you move forward. And then maybe you're somewhere and you have to go to plan B and you have to go home because your kids need to be home, you know. But just really asking the Lord and for his wisdom.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. You can't just get too bogged down and worrying about, am I getting the balance just right in this area, but just committing it to the Lord and wanting that. Good. All right.
Just obviously, I don't know if anybody said it here, but we got to state the obvious that our children are a priority, as it was mentioned earlier. And so as my child has grown, she's more of a lady now, I have to really have that white space in my calendar. As your kids get older, you really, really can't predict when those conversations need to happen or are going to happen. And so just making sure that my schedule's not so packed that I can't stay up till midnight talking to her after her college classes or whatever, you know? So just allowing space in the calendar for that.
Yeah, that's great.
I would say, as a mother of adult children now, it's a whole new set of challenges. I find myself yearning for those days when they were little. It was so easy. Now, when you're in it, it doesn't seem any easy, but you control them. It's lovely. And when they get older, you don't. So we have learned all sorts of lessons as they've gotten older. And we talk to a lot of parents in our church that have certain issues with their older or adult children. And I would just say one of the main things you can do as your children grow, and I didn't mention that, the importance of relationship. I think it is so important, number one, that they just never, ever, ever doubt how much you love them, okay? We have told all of our children this, and it's not a bad thing to tell yours, that you will never say or do anything that will make me love you more or make me love you less. I mean, my love for you as my child will always be here. Now, I may not agree with some of your choices, I may not always agree with you, but that has no bearing on my love for you. And they need to know that at any age. And I think especially as they get older. And just like she said, just always try and make sure you keep time for your children. There will be times when, I remember about a week or two ago, I was so busy. I had just a ton of stuff going on, and my younger son called me. I looked at my phone. I dropped everything, okay? Everything can wait. If my 30-year-old son is going to call me, I'm going to talk to him. And we had a wonderful talk. I just sat down, and we talked for about 45 minutes. That is priceless, okay? And we have to make time for our children, no matter how old they are, all right?
I just want to say something quickly. You know, several seminary wives are here whose husbands are in seminary and probably are just locked up in the room studying for hours and hours. And so are, the men in our church, our elders or teachers who study for hours. And they need to do that in order to prepare to teach us well. And for our children to see that is a sacrifice to allow your dad to go study, or if your mom is a teacher, to let them take time, to set aside time and study. And that is a sacrifice, because in doing so, they're also serving God's people.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Just saying, if you are constantly pouring into them, making them feel like the priority, then when they do sacrifice, they're not going to resent it. They're going to see for what it is. It's sacrificing for something good. Oh, this is good. I love this question. I didn't write these questions, but it's basically, what did you do right? We always focus on what we did wrong, but on this one, when you look back and regarding outside commitments, what were you grateful that you did? By God's grace, of course, that you would look back and say, I'd do that again.
I'll answer. I think, in our church, our size, you can't do everything. Right? If you did, you'd be running crazy and still wouldn't make it to everything. So there's just always something going on, always a place to serve, always an event to go to, and that's wonderful. But realizing that you don't have to do everything. And there was a time a few years ago that we made a decision for me to not be as involved, and that just was wonderful. The Lord was so kind in letting me be home more and serve my family in that season. And so just kind of getting back to the basics, like, are you coming to big church? Are you serving? Are you involved in some type of small group? Those few things, and then the rest is kind of gravy.
I think we have in our head that there are certain things that we do well. Definitely we're gifted for certain things. All of us are. We have different giftings. But we sort of think it's this one thing I do. You guys know this is not the thing I do. But to be willing to do those other things. And for us, one of the biggest changes on my family's life was when Jeff and I were at a different church and we agreed to help in youth ministry. I would say teenagers are not my thing, even though I had a lot of them. I liked those teenagers. But the impact that made, especially on some of my son's lives, for us to be there with them and involved with them in that youth program. And I'm pretty sure my husband drug me kicking and screaming to that, because that's like so not fun, so not what I'm good at. I can do the nursery, I can wash dishes, but those are not my things. So just to see how the Lord can bless you when you're willing to do something that your husband asks you to do, or someone else asks you to do a different kind of ministry that you don't think is in your wheelhouse. You might do it and decide, I was right, it was not my thing, but you may find out that you loved it, and you can see how the Lord blessed the time.
I'll say one thing, the Lord equips us and he enables us, right? We have to be faithful. So if you say, yes, I'm going to do this, but I have no idea what to do. We have enough examples in the Bible when someone was just like, no, I can't do this. I can't open my mouth, but God equipped them. He enabled them to do that. And so when we bear that in our mind and we're faithful to take that step, God is faithful to let us see the fruit of that service.
And this was a tough question, because when I look back, I just see God's grace and faithfulness and very little of my decision. He just so obviously worked through the situations where I was at. But this is just a personal decision that I made. I don't have a chapter and verse on it, but not in how it fleshed out in my life, but as a single mom, my time is still short with work and balancing momhood. And, it's just single or married. It's a difficult time when they're younger. But I did know that I wanted to, through my work, I work late into the evenings, but I wanted to have time with her at night. And so just saying no to other commitments, mostly social commitments, which, weren't a ton, but it was saying no to that, and then being very judicious in my church commitments throughout the week. But in looking back, I don't even remember what I said no to, but I do have very fond memories and a good relationship with my daughter now that the Lord really blessed, I believe, because of, you know, carving out that time with her. And so looking back, again, I don't remember what I said no to. I only have good memories of that time, so.
I love that. Did you want to add anything? So moving on from ministry to relationships, what are some ways you found that we can cultivate unity with others when we differ on areas of conscience?
Okay, well, I have my Bible open right here, so I'm just going to jump right in. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come," Paul speaking, "and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And so that striving is, we're on a team, which I have to remember that. It's all of us, the body of Christ. And so camp out on what you do have in common. We have a lot in common in our love for the Lord, our love for his word, and our love for others. We have a commonality in that we're fighting against sin together. We are desiring to share the gospel. All the things, we have those in common. And so, you know, if it truly is a conscience issue, meaning it's not chapter and verse, thou shalt or thou shalt not, then let the Lord handle it. You aren't the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to myself here, okay? But just a reminder, too, to be humble in those relationships, and I shared this with the high schoolers a couple of weeks ago, but we are all just beggars before the Lord. I'm not a better Christian because I don't struggle with that particular area of conscience or whatever it may be, but we are both beggars before the Lord. I'm just another beggar showing another beggar where to get food. And so his grace is only sufficient for my struggles, and his grace is only sufficient for you and your struggles, uniquely, I should say, not only, but uniquely sufficient. And so just reminding myself of that going into those conversations and relationships with others about unity.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, whenever you start with scripture, like, all right, done. Well, I just realized what time it was, so I wanted to throw out one last question, because I think this is one that is hard for all of us to find or understand the balance of. It's the striving versus trusting as it relates to our sanctification. You shared the quote that Martha's fault was not that she served. Her fault was that she grew cumbered with much serving so that she forgot him and only remembered her service. Have you ever felt cumbered by much service? And as you serve others, how do you remember to keep your eyes on him?
When I think about that question, we again have to remind ourselves, scripture is our guide. What does the Bible say? And a few verses that come to mind quickly are Colossians 3:23, 1 Corinthians 10:31. They talk about whatever you do, and I'm, you know, rephrasing it, do it unto the Lord for the glory of the Lord, not as men pleasers, but to please the Lord. And like we heard this morning, and we know, you know, we all are Marthas in a way, but that combination of being a Martha and a Mary is important, because we do want to be able to strive in the right way, strive as in doing and serving others, but also trust and fix our eyes on the Lord and have that Mary attitude. But just to have that common, the combination of Martha and Mary together, and be able to serve our Lord that way and ultimately bring him glory, and not be cumbered and lose our joy, but to be able to look to the Lord in joyful acceptance of what he has for us, and hear from him. And what we hear and learn from him is going to outflow in our lives in how we serve.
I think if we forget why we're serving, and if we forget who we're serving, then all we have left is the service, and it feels hard.
There's a book out there, The Jewel of Contentment, I think is the name of it. And I started it 7 years ago, and I'm still going through it. Yeah, because it's really good. Just one sentence is good at a time. But he really talks about, like you said, just finding your source of joy in God, not for just what he does for you and for what you're doing for him, but find your source of joy in him first. Otherwise, burnout will happen. It's guaranteed.
Thank you so much, ladies, for being willing to be transparent and open and share what God has taught you. I really appreciate it. Will you help me thank them? Yeah. Y'all can step down, or Sarah, you can step over, but I'm going to let them step down as we close. Our worship team is going to come up. Oh, nope, change that. All right. Never mind. You got ladies are welcome to step down, though. So I just wanted to make sure you guys understood that we wanted this to be helpful to you as practical ideas of how some of this might look fleshed out. But unless it's a direct command from Scripture, you're not bound to it. So if it's not helpful and it's not a direct command, don't think about it again. We don't want to burden you with practical ideas, only help. So I just have a few people I want to thank before we finish. Thank you again to Pam. Thank you so much for coming. You have blessed us, and I'm so excited that we have a book now because we didn't figure it all out, and this weekend we can revisit it and grow better in our balance, and thank you. I want to thank our music team, our worship team. I want Kirsten to pick the songs all the time. That was awesome. And our AV crew. They have worked so hard for us. And a really special thanks to Hannah Marquez. She planned every detail of, or oversaw every detail of this. And as it kept growing, she just got more excited. She was more excited. And Brittany McKay did all of our lovely decorations and graphics. And for all our volunteers that helped make this. So thank you so much for being here. This has been an amazing time, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at church. So you are dismissed.